Over my circumstance. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Remember, every knee bows before your King. Every name bows before your King. Hallelujah. He is your God of vengeance. Hallelujah. We sing, God of vengeance has won my battle for me. God of miracles has won my battle for me. God of vengeance has won my battle for me. I'm a winner man, I'm a winner man. He has won my battle for me. Oh, I'm a winner man, I'm a winner man. He has won my battle for me. Sing with me. God of vengeance has won my battle for me. God of miracles,
God of miracles has won my battle for me.
Oh God.
God of vengeance has won my battle for me.
God of miracles,
God of miracles has won my battle for
me. I'm a winner man,
I'm a winner man, I'm a winner man. He has won my battles for me. I'm a winner man, I'm a winner man. He has won my battle for me.
I'm a winner,
I'm a winner man, I'm a winner man. He has won my battle for me.
Who are you? put you in front of my melody. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. I'll make room for two. You and I, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. Oh, way, oh, way. You are all that matters. Oh, way, oh, way. You are all that matters. Oh,
front of my melody, you are all that matters. You are all that matters.
I'll make room. I'll
make room for two.
You and I.
You and I, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters.
Father, we give you praise. I'll put you in front of my melody. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. I'll make room for two. You and I, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. Oh, hey, oh, hey. You are all that matters. Father, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for this moment, for this season, for this time. You marked out this very moment to do something extraordinary in the lives of your people. We surrender ourselves to you. God, who through your mighty hand and outstretched arm got the people of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, that they may begin to celebrate the day of rest, your Sabbath. Father, we come to our rest. For this day we say, arise, O King of kings, Lord of lords, mighty God of war, and fight the battle for your people. We rest in your grace and we receive the spoil in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeshua, we magnify you. Yahweh, we magnify you. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Father, for coming, abiding, for doing extraordinary things in the lives of your people. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll put you in front of my enemies. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. I'll make room for two, you and I, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. Oh, hey, oh, hey. You are all that matters. Oh, hey, oh, hey. You are all that matters. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Really appreciate it. Want to take this opportunity to welcome you all, those of you here, those of you that are online in different parts of this city, our province, our country. Those of you listening in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, wherever you are, want to welcome you this very moment to this spiritual warfare conference. Hallelujah. Let's give God a good clap offering. Hallelujah. This is going to be a powerful time for you and I. The Lord said there was going to be a seismic shift. Hallelujah. And out in Iceland, glory be to God, something they say haven't happened for 6,000 years happened. There was a shift. Glory be. It'd been rumbling for a while. Amen. This is the year 5781. 2021. But the Lord said, that we're to have on the 57th day of this year a special meeting, and on the 81st day of the year have another one. Praise the Lord. But God has been saying something to us about 2020 and 2021. He's looking at it as one solid moment. And so these meetings are starting at a very strategic time to embrace 5780 and 5781. Something extraordinary is going to happen in your life, in my life, in this ministry. Hallelujah. And please position yourself to receive what God has for you. Don't miss what God has for you. He has something special cooked up for you and I. Amen? Mama is going to come and lead us in our time of prayer. And I'm going to come back and lay a foundation to the teachings on spiritual warfare today. And tonight, we are going to have a very special guest speaker, all the way from the great nation of Sierra Leone. You don't want to miss this man of God and the word he has for us. Amen? Praise God. God bless you. Hallelujah.
God day, everybody.
God day.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the weather is changing for good? I don't want to see another snow, but we never know. This is Manitoba, so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My neighbors yesterday, people you've not seen a long time, all walking around. It's like, thank you, Lord. Well, let's give God praise for a nice weather. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand and we'll pray for our children. Apostle just told me, get ready quick. So that's why I sat down to get my stuff together so during worship. So please continue to worship when we are worshiping together. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's good to see you all. And keep on inviting your friends to come so they can partake of the goodness of God. Because what you're eating is so delicious and is so powerful. So you want to share that with your friends and your neighbors. They might surprise you. Don't assume that they don't want to be in church. They might just say, I'll be there with you, and their life will change. Say amen. I got into the Pentecostal movement because somebody invited me. I was a strong Catholic girl, and then somebody invited me to come and see the power of God. Nobody had to tell me to choose again. From that day, I never turned back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You need to tell somebody about Jesus. All right, all the children, wherever you are with your parents, let us pray. Lift your hands towards heaven and let God touch you. All children. So if you're 120 plus to zero, you are a child of God. Say amen. All right. Father, we thank you for all God's children. Thank you for all our biological children, spiritual children, partners all over the world. Lord, we leave them before you, extended families, from age 120 plus to zero, to those in seed form, those in the womb, those that are in school age, those that are toddlers, those that are in career age, in college age, in any age, retirement age, or retirement age, in the name of Jesus, that you touch every one of them. Those that are home, those that are sick, those that are well, those that are healthy, those that need a touch of God, those that are struggling. Father, remember all your children. Remember everyone. Let none be left behind. Let none be left in Egypt. Let everyone move forward. Move into the promises of God. Strengthen every one of them. Touch them, O God. cover everyone with the precious blood of Jesus. The boundary of blood stay intact. In the mighty name of Jesus, Satan, you're not allowed. We refuse to allow you to enter. Our hedges are intact. We say no to you and your works and your cohorts. We say no to every plans you have against anyone. The plans of God are what are to be made manifest. We thank you for all our families. They belong to you and they are God's property. We thank you for victory and success and divine health. In Jesus' name, amen. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into our heart, into our lives, into this church, into this ministry. We bless your holy name. Welcome you into our families, our homes, our nation. And Lord, we thank you that you are God. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. Jesus said, for the words he speaks, their spirit and life. We receive you into our hearts and into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, prayer continues, please. I don't like conversation when I stand here. Just quickly, children, go out quietly with your teachers and continue. Let's continue to reverence the presence of the living God. Say amen. Say amen. Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt you. Let those who have ear hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. All right, turn your Bible to Zechariah 4. It's not many verses. I think there are 14 verses. Let's read. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the angel that talked with me came again. Who is he talking to? To Zechariah. He came, so he's spoken to Zechariah before, and he's speaking to him again. May God send you visitation. May he not speak to you only one time. May you hear him over and over. May you have angelic assistance over and over. In the name of Jesus. And the angel that talked with me came again. Somebody say again. If you say again, that means it was there before. So he never told us how many times, but he has angelic encounter. May during this season, may you have angelic encounters. In the name of Jesus. And waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. You know you can be awake, but yet you are sleeping. That's why I say you can have ears and yet you don't hear. Not because you are naturally deaf. You don't just hear. Somebody saying things to you, you can't comprehend. May God open you up. May you be woken up. Say a big amen. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, before I knew that this scripture was in the Bible, the Lord showed this to me. So I know it's real. Say amen. Say amen. I was woken like Zechariah was woken, and I was shown this. I never knew. So the day I found it in the scripture, I was just shouting. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord forevermore. Even the two olive trees, I did see those. So praise the Lord. Verse 4. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. The things you don't know spiritually, may God show them to you clearly. In the name of Jesus. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what God is saying to all of us today. Everything that you need and you are going to accomplish and you need answers and solutions to, it's not going to happen because you're going to seek natural knowledge for it. God is going to do it by his spirit. In the name of Jesus. Who art thou, O great? Are we still talking about the same Zerubbabel that was first so awake and yet he was sleeping? May your spirit wake up today in the name of Jesus. And then the word of the Lord came unto Zerubbabel. May God's word, as it enters you, something will change. Your confession will change. Your prayer life will change. Your declaration will change. Your boldness will change. Your outlook in life will change. In the name of Jesus. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Is this the same person? 1 second, he changed. May you change from this second on. In the name of Jesus. That your family members, your co-workers, your friends, your relatives, your spouse, your children, we say, who is this person? In the name of Jesus. Even your co-workers. Verse 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. What job, what thing you have started, God has started with you, you will finish it in the name of Jesus. What God has placed in your hand will not die. It will be made manifest. It will bring forth result. It will bring forth solution. It will bring forth profit. It will bring forth glory to the living God in the name of Jesus. For who had despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Say a big amen. May the eyes of the Lord, there are those seven that are around you all the while that you have not seen manifestation. May those 7 begin to make manifestation in your life. The eyes of the Lord. My God. My God. How many eyes do we have? But how many did he say God has? And if you are in Christ, how many eyes should you be operating from? Can you wake up from your sleep now? Somebody say, I'm awake. Say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. Say your spirit will agree with what your mouth is saying. Say, I'm awake. God intends you to see more than what you see. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. May the Spirit of the Lord visit every one of us. In Jesus' name. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these 2 olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these 2 olive branches which through the 2 golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Talking about the menorah. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the 2 anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Hallelujah. 2 anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. It's not natural olive tree, olive oil. It is the anointed ones that always in the presence of the Lord. They were right before him, but he has not matured into what is coming to you. Whatever the Lord is going to bring forth into our lives during this season, even if we don't have the understanding, may the Spirit of the Lord put into our spirit his understanding. In the name of Jesus. May what we see not just be natural. You see, I told you, I saw this many, many years ago, more than 3 decades ago. The Lord showed me. I did not have an understanding, but until when I read it, I said, my God, you love me enough to show me this. So my life cannot be ordinary. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. And this is not for all of us. You don't need God to come and give you special visitation. He has given it to you in his word. Say amen. Say amen. There are 2 anointed. And if the presence of God is here, are the anointed ones with him. So you are not alone in this service this morning. Shout hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your word is life and light. Your word is salt. Your word is fire. Your word is resurrection power. Your word is doing exactly what it needs to do. Your presence, in your presence, there is joy forevermore. There is fullness of joy, not just ordinary joy. And in that joy, there is strength. There is power. There is holiness, there is goodness. Lord, we thank you for your everlasting love for us. You have guaranteed to us today that everything you want to do in our life is not going to be by power. When a man on earth or a woman on earth has money and has influence in the natural realm, we say they are powerful. But God, you say what you want to do is not going to be by that. You're going to do by your spirit in our lives. When somebody governs a nation, we say they have power. They sit in power. But God, you say that's not what you want to do in our lives. You're going to do it by your spirit. There is a different kind of governance that you want to do in our lives. We enter into this realm. We enter by your spirit. We enter into the realm when we say, grace, grace, grace to any mountain, they level up. In the name of Jesus. This is what you're talking about, by your spirit. So Lord, anoint our mind, anoint our spirit, our soul, and our body. That when we speak, mountains bow. When we say grace to it, it is a done deal. We are no longer blind, we see. Thank you for the gift of sight. Thank you for your holy presence. We no longer walk as dead people. We are alive in Jesus. Because he is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. We are sensitive to the presence of God. We have angelic assistance in everything. We live and walk like children of the Most High God. No more ignorance in our lives. We think the way God wants us to think. We ask the way he asks us to ask. We do the way he asks us to do. Be awake from your slumber in the name of Jesus. Arise ye that sleepeth, awake from your slumber. Let that word go to work now. That is the word of the Lord. Let it go to work now. Go to work now. Go to work now. Somebody begin to say, I'm awake, 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 I'm awake. My spirit, soul, and body, we are awake in the name of Jesus to the things of God by his spirit. Declare this over every one of us and those who hear the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus, not by might, not by power, but by the spirit of the Most High God. As you have spoken to Zerubbabel, so you have spoken to Maria Ephesino, and to everyone in this who hear the sound of my voice. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, move in the service today as we start this spiritual warfare conference. Lord, we just thank you for victory. The victory is ours. It is already ours. It's already a done deal. We accept your victory. We accept your living word. We accept the solution you have provided for us. We receive every one of them. We thank you that we have gone up higher. Higher level. Come up higher. Come up higher. Somebody say, I'm going higher. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. Begin to move your feet like you are climbing and you're going higher, 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 higher. In the name of Jesus. But it's not going to be by your strength. God's going to move you by his spirit. In the name of Jesus. Like Ezekiel said, I was by the river and I was in the spirit and I was moved to the river. May God move you to his river. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless our offering, bless our tithes, bless the word of the Lord, the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, those who publish the word by making and telling people Jesus is Lord and being a witness of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Apostle.
The Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. We serve a God that is faithful. If it were not for God on our side, where would we be? I remember many years ago, I heard, you know, we hear God, but sometimes we hear the devil. This particular time, I heard the devil. He said to me, "You are causing me too much trouble. I'm going to kill you." And I said, "You can't kill me." The Lord rebukes you. At that time, we were building our church. We were moving, we were going to move from the church where the Lord called me to ministry, September the 5th of 76. And we had property just by the side of it, the head of it, and so we were building there. And I and some of the ministers were busy getting what we call sharp sand. It's white, rocky sand that you use for making cement. And there was a river close by. It's in the delta. And so we went there. And we're getting sand, putting it into a tipper or a truck, dump truck. We call it tipper. And after we'd done quite a few trips, They decide to go swimming. But I don't know how to swim, but I was going to go into the water anyway. It's lots of water. So there they were. They dove in, and they were swimming, you know, not too far away, about maybe 20 feet, 30 feet away. I said, well, this is the shore. Can be deep. So I started walking. I took about 3 steps, took about the 4th one, and there was no land. And I go down. And I come back up. And I'm trashing. And they're looking at me. They thought I was jiving, just kidding around. I'm going the 2nd time. And I heard the laugh of the devil. I told you I'm going to kill you, and you are going to die here today. Wow. And I heard the voice of my friend saying to me from past experiences, if you are in the water and you go down the 3rd time, that's it. And I'm up the 2nd time, I'm going down the 3rd time. I said, God, help me. And as I was going down, my foot touched land. And I got out of that place so fast. And I started yelling at the guys, why didn't you guys help me? They said, help you for what? I said, I was dying there. I was drowning, and you guys left me there to die. They said, we thought you were kidding. So I looked closer at my environment. There's a big ship right there to the left of me. And it dawned on me. The reason my legs didn't touch ground was they had dredged that place, dug it so deep so that the ship could come in. That brings me to this very first point. You need to be very aware of your environment. When we're talking about spiritual warfare, we need to be very aware of our environment. And I'll come and I'll address that issue once again later on. But right now, let us start out by doing this. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1. I'm going to go through a battery of passages, first of all, this morning. And then I'm going to concentrate on 3 or 4 points that I want you to have settled. Because when we're talking about spiritual warfare, we need to know what the warfare is about. What is the warfare about? Because you might be mistaken about what the warfare is about. You need to know the war that you're fighting, the environment in which you're fighting it, why you're fighting it, and what the finishing point is. Amen? Because if you don't know when the battle is over, you keep on fighting. Can you imagine somebody out there still fighting in Vietnam? Or still fighting the Second World War? You got to know when it's over. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1, the word of God says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. What did it say not to do? Don't be afraid. If you're going to go into warfare, don't go in fear. Do not be afraid because of the enemy that you see. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of that. Because the battle is not yours. Amen? It is the Lord's. It says, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is what? With thee. God is what? With you. Which God? The God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. The God who saved you is with you. What is the word of God trying to say to us? It's saying the greatest battle had already been won. The greatest battle being the fact that you've been in bondage. And you were saved out of bondage. Everything from this point on is easy. I already bound the strong man. Now it is time to spoil his house. Everything now is easy. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I was with you there. And I'm with you now. You will win this battle. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's look at the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and verse 15. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. The king Jehoshaphat is going with the people of Israel against these forces that were way beyond their capacity or ability to address. The man of God, the king, had cried out to God. He was first afraid, but then he turned the case over to God. And here a word is spoken. He says, and he said, "Hearken ye, all ye Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not what?" That statement. Be not afraid, nor dismayed, overwhelmed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Please get that. The battle is not what? Yours. But it is what? God's. So when we're talking about spiritual warfare, we're not talking about us getting involved with it. We're talking about God getting into the action. Amen? And because God is with us and God is going to fight for us, we win. The victory is ours. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. We read these words. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. You were a slave there. And that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. God brought you out through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, because God did this, therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. What's that? God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day because of that? Yes. What does that mean? It means that God commanded you to rest. God commanded you to do what? Rest. Chill. I fought the battle for you. Now, rest. Now, in this particular passage, I'm going to read a little bit more from this particular passage because something else happens here. That God wants us to understand. It is not necessarily a restatement of the Ten Commandments, but the commandments being restated because of the victory that is possible when we abide with the Word of God, and the defeat that is possible when we don't abide with the Word of God. And the first thing he says is this. Watch this. Verse 16. Honor thy father. If you're going to do spiritual warfare, Honor your father and your mother. This is crucial. You are in ministry and you have not learned the principle of honoring fathers, you are about to go down. Because God is simply stating in that particular verse, and he's going to state other things. These are things that circumvent your chances of continuing in the grace of winning. Just honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. That your days be what? Prolonged. You see, when God talks about the prolonging of days, remember that there was a man called Joshua. Days normally have 24 hours. And there's a certain amount of time, let's say 12 hours, that the sun is supposed to be up, depending on how far away you are from the equator. And he said, "Sun, stay up there." And the days were prolonged for him so that he accomplished everything he needed to do in a day called a day, but a day that was prolonged. May God give you prolonged time. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. May God prolong your days. May God prolong your times and cause you to stay in divine health. Don't let the devil ever cause you to dishonor a father or a mother. And you are involved in spiritual warfare. You're going down, but God does not intend for you to go down. He wants you to win. And the greatest father to honor is our Heavenly Father. Amen? That it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So when you win the battle and you come into the place of your promise, God wants you to enjoy it. Amen? It's pointless winning the battle and not enjoying life after that. God wants you to enjoy it. And the key factor to enjoying your life in full, to live a fulfilled life, is the honoring of your father and your mother. The pastor thought we're talking about spiritual warfare. Yes, we're talking about spiritual warfare. We've not moved away from it. Don't ever outgrow your respect for the one that birthed you, the one that nurtured you, succored you. Let me go further. Psalm 24 and verse 8. Psalm 24 and verse 8. Hear the word of God. Tells us about our God, and he says, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in what? Battle." That's the one who's going to fight for you. The one who is mighty in battle. Proverbs 21 and verse 31. Proverbs 21 and 31. It says here, "The horse is prepared against the day of" what? Battle. That's why you have horses. He says, "But safety is of the Lord." You want to be safe? It's in the Lord. It is of the Lord. We are not going to battle and getting ourselves injured or wounded, handicapped, or any of that. there will not be the smell of battle on you, because the battle is the Lord's. Amen? Hallelujah. Please hear what I'm saying to you. Let's look at another passage. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 5. These are all preambles to where we're going. Zechariah 10, 5. Says here, and they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on the horses shall be what? Confounded. Amen? Those that have their horses will be confounded. Why? Because the Lord is with us. In other words, you and I will win battles that the enemy thinks we cannot win. Glory be to God. You're going to win the battle. Someone say, I'm a winner man. I like that song. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, Mama read to us about how the angel of the Lord came and awakened Zerubbabel. Awake. Listen. There is a word that is very predominant in our world today. It's the word woke. Have you heard that word recently? I'm woke. Be woke. Well, God wants you to be woke. But not the way the world wants, but the way that God wants. Amen? Praise the Lord. Someone say, I'm woke. I can see clearly now. You know, my spiritual father used to say, all truth is parallel. When you look at the world and see what's happening there, know that God is doing it in the realm of the spirit also. So as the world is going through their wokeness, we are going through our own wokeness. It is in recognizing that the battle is the Lord's and that it's time for me to rest. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, Psalm 144 and verse 1. Psalm 144 and verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Say, Pastor, you just told us the battle is the Lord's. Now, what is this about? Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war. Is it God's battle? Or is it my battle and my fingers to fight? Is it his fingers or is it mine? And this is the message, that God comes by the authority of the power of love. Understand that, the power of love. Because when God's love is present in you, God's word says that he will come and abide in you. Amen? So when God talks about the battle is the Lord's, he's saying, you, with your natural mindset, chill. And let me use your body. In other words, I want you to be God-possessed. If the devil gets people possessed, God says, hey, this battle is not yours. I want to possess you. Say, I am God-possessed. Say it again. I am God-possessed. One more time. I am God-possessed. When a man is demonized, He has demonized power operating through him. A demonized man can throw just some little kid like this. Will haul Hercules over there. We knock down 20 men like nobody's business because he is demon possessed. And God says, if you just let me, God possess you. Let me take a hold of this steering. Let me take full charge of piloting this plane. We're going to go at speeds and we're going to do things that you cannot do in your strength or in your ability because I am God and I fail not. Amen? Failure is not part of your story. Victory is your portion. Do you recognize that? Do you receive it? Then shout hallelujah. Amen. Now let's go a little bit into what spiritual warfare is all about. What is it that the enemy wants to accomplish? And what is it that you're fighting to keep established? Number one, the plan of the enemy, the warfare, is about you and I. First and foremost, this primary, doubting God's word. That's the first thing the enemy wants to accomplish. He wants you to doubt the word of God so that you become disobedient to that word. Amen? It's always been the case in the garden, or with the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. The first target of the enemy is for you to doubt God's word. In 2 Chronicles 20, 20, the woke passage, it says, believe in the Lord thy God, so shall you be what? Established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you what? Prosper. Amen? Now, in this particular passage of thought, doubting God's word, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Genesis 3, 1 and 2. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, meaning cunning, which the Lord God made, and he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, did God say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Take me to verse 6, so I speed up. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, God said, and the devil quoted it, he said, did God say? Did God say that if you eat of this fruit, something is going to happen? Go back to verse 3. For the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, God did not add touch, but that's her statement. Verse 4. Watch this. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not what? Surely die. Ye shall not surely die. Don't believe God. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, God is holding something back from you. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Don't believe what God said. Be disobedient to it. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, Matthew 3 and verse 16, read these words. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw, Jesus saw, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He saw. He heard. But what is the enemy going to do? He's going to want him to doubt the word of God. How is he going to try to do that? It's clear. In chapter 4 and verse 6, we read these words, Matthew 4 and verse 6. The devil says to the Lord, if thou be the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. He says to him, in the same passage of Scripture, verse 2, through to 4. Watch this. Matthew 4. It says, the Lord was hungry. Verse 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, well, the Lord just heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And the devil says, if you are the Son of God, like he said, turn those stones and make them bread. Guess what? If the Lord Jesus Christ listened to the devil and turned the stones and made them bread, he would have been declaring, even though he got a result, that he doubted what God said. If you are really the Son of God, God said, you are. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The devil says, if you really turn the stones and make them bread, okay, I'll turn them and make them bread. Ah, you just proved to me that you didn't believe what God said. You don't have to prove anything to the devil. What God said is what God said. And when God said it, he meant it as his word. It's a prophetic declaration. You don't need any other proof. You just need to know that God said it and it is mine. I receive it. Praise the Lord. You heard the word of God. You are healed. I'm healed. Praise the Lord. How do you know you are healed? Because God said. Okay, show me that you're healed. I don't need to show you nothing. I'm healed. Because his word says so. You know, I and so many try to make people prove that they are healed when they've already received the word. Okay. Check it. I don't need to check nothing. I just need to know that God said, and I receive what God said. That's it. Period. Praise the Lord. The devil's first agenda is to make you doubt God's word. The second agenda is to make you doubt your identity, who you are. He wants you to doubt that. If God says that you are saved, you are saved. If God says that you are His son, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If God says you are my son, that's it. What on earth did Jesus do that caused Him to be one that God was pleased with? He did not open one blind eye yet. Not one deaf person has spoken or heard, dumb person spoken. Not one crippled person had walked. Not one dead person had been raised. Not one leper had been cleansed. Nothing. He'd done absolutely nothing. And God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What did he do to deserve that? Nothing. What did you do to deserve the love of God? Nothing. God just loves me. Amen? If you believe God loves you, just say it right now with me. God loves me. You're doing spiritual warfare right there. Spiritual warfare is not about, you know, sitting down with your legs crossed like whatever, somebody doing transcendental meditation. Spiritual warfare is about what you know. The people that know their God, they do the great exploits. You got to know who you are. I am a child of the Most High God. I am the God kind. Hallelujah. Knowing that changes your mindset, your attitude, because all the devil wants to do day in, day out is to tear you down and make you look like you are silly, stupid, foolish, and everything else. He wants to call you down, pull you down, say every crazy thing about you. And if you elect to believe what he said, then that's the report that you've believed. First levels of your battle is in recognizing, first of all, the word of God in your life and recognizing your identity. In Genesis, we read about Adam and Eve. Well, the devil said, God didn't tell you the truth. They were already God. They were created in the image and likeness of God. And the devil comes and says, God is holding off, holding things away from you. And because he's holding out on you, he's denying you of your ability to become one of the God class. If only they knew and understood and grasped within themselves, no, I cannot be something that I am already. Let me say that again. I cannot be something that I am already. I am created in the image and likeness of God, and I cannot become that when I'm already that. You see, the devil became the God of this world because Adam and Eve handed it over by not believing what God said about them. The devil was never the God of this world. He became the God of this world because Adam and Eve handed over their identity, their status, their position. What are you and I handing over to the devil? It's time to take back what belongs to us. Amen? Hallelujah. You know one of the things that God came and gave to us? The Bible says that he, Jesus, became poor that we might become rich. Is that the word of God? And what does the devil convince believers to believe? That poverty is our lot. That poverty is our portion. Meanwhile, God makes his streets of gold. And the foundations are made up of different high-class minerals, precious stones. I don't think God is thinking poverty. So why do I have to think poor? Because the enemy doesn't want me to recognize my identity. That I'm not poor. Wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous, the upright. And I've been given the gift of righteousness. And God says, wealth and riches are in my life. I cannot be poor. God hates it. God hates poverty. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor so that they stay poor? No. First thing, God attacks poverty. I must understand that as we do spiritual warfare. I have an identity in God. And it has nothing to do with being poor. Oh, but Pastor, didn't the Bible say the poor will always be with you? Yes, but it didn't say me. Those who do not know God, by my wealth and riches, not only by my preaching, I will convince them to come into the kingdom of God. I am rich. If you want poverty, you can keep it. I am healthy. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I must believe the word of God and not doubt it. And secondly, I must identify with the identity and status that God has already established for me. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. The Word of God says, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Was Jesus made sin for us? He was. And he knew no sin? He knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Word of God says that the righteousness is the gift of God that he gives to us. So, are you a sinner or are you righteous? You're righteous, not a sinner? You believe that? You're not a sinner. You're righteous. So you can be identified before God as righteous. And God has given you access to his presence to come boldly. Then why is it that you and I spend most of our times thinking about us, ourselves, as sinners. You know, the more you think of yourself as a sinner, the more of a sinful lifestyle you live. You know that? You confess with your mouth the righteousness of God. Not your circumstance, what the enemy wants you to believe, but what God said about you, and you become what God said. That we might be what? Made. That we might be what? Made. That we might be made what? The righteousness of God. That's what God is making. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What else is the target of the enemy? The target of the enemy is to distort God's word. He wants to distort it. To distort God's word means that he will tell you what the word of God is, but he will flip it in a way that gets it into error. It's no longer the truth. And to distort God's word is to either subtract from it or add to it. Hello? It's to subtract or to add to it. So all you and I need to believe and stand with is exactly what God said, not what I think, not what I believe. What did he say? What did God's word say? What did God say to you? It doesn't need another explanation. I can read it black and white right here, or red and white. This is what it says here. That's what I believe. That is what God's word says. Now, the enemy comes and he wants to distort it. He wants to twist it. In Matthew chapter 4, let's look at that again. Matthew chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. I looked at this earlier. The word of God says that the devil comes to him and says unto him, if thou be the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, is still attacking the issue of his identity. If you're really the Son of God, cast thyself down. And then he quotes, the devil quotes, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Right there, we have the play of doubting the word of God and doubting his identity. He jumps off that cliff. Even if the angels come and they bear him up and he didn't dash his foot, the devil will have claimed victory right there. Well, what scripture was he quoting? If it says it is written, it's got to be written somewhere. In Psalm 91, Psalm 91, verse 11. Psalm 91, verse 11. The devil says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Perfect quote. Verse 13. See what he missed? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. He didn't quote that part because that part... He didn't quote it because that part was right there cutting him up. Let me tell you something. When the devil quotes anything at you, read the whole passage. Because he's trying to distort the word of God. He's a liar. Amen? And you cannot lie. Hear this. You cannot lie. Hear it again. You cannot lie except there be a truth. Let me say it again. You cannot lie if there is no truth. And so, guess what the devil does? He says, this is my truth. When somebody starts saying, this is my truth, you know they're lying. They're operating from a lying spirit. This is my truth. No, it is not my truth. It is the truth. This is the truth. It doesn't have to be my truth. It is your truth also, because you know that this is the truth, and I know that this is the truth, and God knows that this is the truth, and the devil knows that this is the truth, because there is one truth. So it's not my truth and your truth, my interpretation and your interpretation. There's no interpreting of the truth, but the truth interpreting itself. Amen? And so when you are doing spiritual warfare, understand that the enemy wants to distort the word of God and generate his own truth, but that's not your truth. Your truth is what the word of God says. Every other thing is guile. Guile is truth that is not the truth. Is it true that I have a headache? Yes. But the truth is that by the stripes of Jesus, I am, was, were healed. Amen? I am operating in divine health. Sickness and disease have no portion in my life. My body is not conducive to the diabolical activities of sicknesses and diseases. My body rejects it. Hallelujah. Everything about me rejects anything that is contrary to that which is light. I am light and not darkness. Glory be to God. This is part of spiritual warfare. These are foundational. This is spiritual warfare 101. Amen? What else does the enemy want to do? He wants to direct your worship. Now, this is the most diabolical of them all. He wants to direct your worship or redirect it. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. It's an elevated spot. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world. See? And the glory of them. How amazing the kingdoms of the world were. Shows him everything. And then verse 9 says, and he says unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt do what? Fall down and worship me. He wants to redirect worship to himself. And says, if you just worship me, I'll give you everything you want. See all of it? It's yours. All I want is worship. Please hear this. All the devil really wants is worship. Ultimately, he just wants you to worship him. Worship him how? By you bowing down to him, by you focusing your attention on him. He says, all you need to do is just worship me. That's it. I'll give you everything else. Everything else you want, I'll give it to you. Now, if you're living in the world of for things, then you are going to compromise yourself so you get the things because you think that the things is godliness. I got 10 jet planes. I've got 50 cargo planes. I've got my own train line. I got my own telecommunication system. I got whatever. I have it. It's all mine. And I still worship. But which God are you worshiping? Which God are you worshiping? There are people that are hyper blessed, so to speak, that are not worshiping the only true God. They've sold their souls already for things. You know, do you know the devil couldn't care less if you say hail Satan? He doesn't care about that. And so he can just gather his worship any which other way he can find it. Are you willing to turn your life over to the devil and give him the worship that he is clamoring for? Because if he's got everything and he's willing to give it to Jesus, and all he wants Jesus to do is to worship him, he has a reason for it. Because ultimately, things don't matter. Huh? The things that you and I are clamoring for, that we think this is the beginning and end of everything, they don't matter. Worship. That's the big deal. That's what he wants. And that's exactly what he's not going to get from you. Amen? You're not going to worship him in any way, shape, or form because he's always promising things that he cannot deliver. Wait a minute. What was the devil really looking after? See the glory of the world. I'll give it to you. Just bow down. Worship me. This was the devil's shortcut offer. Listen. So you're the Son of God. And I've been hearing about you all this while that you're going to come and you're going to die. I'm going to kill you. But I don't believe that you're going to come back. But why do you have to go through all that pain? You came for the world, right? I'll give it to you. Just worship me. Then I'll give it to you. Then, easy. Hey, Father, we found another solution. The solution of getting the kingdom, and all I just need to do is just bow. Just a little bow. That's all. Just a little bow. He didn't say to do it all the time. It's just a little bow. No, a little cyanide will kill you. A little worship of the devil will destroy you. Don't accept the shortcuts of the devil. If you just tell this lie, you'll get this. Don't buy into it. Because you are always going to be living under that blackmail of the enemy. He's always going to blackmail you and tell you what he's going to expose you. 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 And you keep on paying and paying and paying and paying and paying until everything that he offered you, you surrender it back to him. Don't do it. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to get to us about tonight or this morning? Well, show you some of the key places the devil is going to fight you at. He's going to fight your identity. He's going to fight you in doubting the word of God. He's going to fight you by distorting the word of God. He's going to fight you by causing you to redirect your worship towards him. Those are his goals. And those are the areas that you need to fight back at. Make certain that you hold on to the word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. Hold on to your identity that God loved you with an everlasting love. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, after the word of God. Establish that. Don't allow the enemy to distort the word of God in your life. And don't allow him to redirect your worship. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. Deuteronomy 6 and 13. This was where the Lord responded. He says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. That's the scripture the Lord Jesus Christ was using to respond to the devil in Matthew chapter 4. In Acts 16, verse 16 to 18, it says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. We show unto us the way of salvation. Is that all correct? Absolutely. Does the devil quote these scriptures? Absolutely. He knows the Bible better than you do, maybe. Verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He came out the same hour, and he came out the same hour, and he came out the same hour. What was this woman doing wrong, this damsel? Notice, she's a damsel, that means she's a lady. Hello? But what is the spirit that was speaking in her and through her? A he. You're talking about transgender confusion? There we have it. A she with a he spirit, demonic spirit operating out of her. And he commands that spirit to come out. But what was it saying? Listen to these guys. They have the truth. They have the word of God. You know what? Paul is not always going to be in town. And that spirit, actually, take me back to verse 16. Show you something. And it came to pass as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of what? Divination. You know what that word divination is? It's a Greek word. Python. That's what that word is. Possessed with a python spirit. A python spirit. That's the same kind of spirit that was in the garden. Did God really say? But this time he's trying to play tricks. This is the truth now. And when Paul leaves town, it will go back to his devilish ways and snare all of these people. You remember, I was in agreement with the prophet of God. I was in agreement with the apostles. I was in agreement. I believe what they believe. Not everybody who believes what I believe is moving by the Spirit of God. I must be discerning to separate the lies from the truth. Sometimes the liar tells the truth, but that does not make him a truth teller. He's still a liar. Hello? If there's one prayer I want to pray over us today, it is this, that we be discerning to know what the source of what we are hearing is. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from the Spirit of God or from the lying tongue of the devil? You need to know that. Because if you don't know that, the devil will deceive you. And finally, I started out by talking about our environment. And I'll tell you a story in a moment, and I'll be done. Knowing your environment, knowing where you are, because what the devil wants you to do is to fight the battle in his grounds. The Word of God says, we're not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The Word of God also tells us, as we've clearly stated, that we need to rest in God. If we're going to rest in God, then we, as the Word of God says, we must be seated in Him in heavenly places. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you're ready for this. The battle is not even between Jesus and the devil. The battle is between the Father and the forces of darkness, because the Father says in the book of Hebrews, sit down. He says to the Lord, sit down. Let me take care of this. So I am seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, chilling out while the Father takes care of business. Hallelujah. Father says, you know, I've been letting the boys take care of business all this while. Okay, now let me show you who you have been dealing with. I brought you in, I can take you out. Hallelujah. I say, arise, O God, arise and let all your enemies be scattered. Understand that you're fighting from the heavenlies. You're seated in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you this story and we'll pray. My assignment this morning is to just lay certain foundations. And then this evening we'll take it up and we'll continue. Many years ago, I had a very interesting dream. It's got about 20-something years back. I saw myself standing in a particular spot. And I saw this python spirit. It was an albino spirit. Big, fat python spirit. And it was just rotating around me. I couldn't go anywhere. And I'm stuck. It's not doing anything to me, but I can't go anywhere because this thing is just roaming around me freely. And while I'm looking at this, I saw myself. I'm here. This python spirit is roaming around me. I saw myself in the heavenlies. I saw myself. And I shot a laser beam light. Boom! It came coming down. And while it is coming down, I'm taken into another vision. And I see that self over there shooting through, and I see myself down here, and the laser beam hit me. Pow! And all of a sudden, there's flesh everywhere. An explosion. And I screamed up there. I said, oh, I killed myself. I said, oh, I just killed myself. But Lord, I look, I'm still standing there. But this python is gone. I said, wait a minute. I shot me. Why am I still standing there, not dead? And the word of God spoke into my spirit, said, no, you cannot die. Because the same word that you released is the same word that you were made out of. You're the same material as that, and so it cannot hurt you, but it hurts everything around you. Glory be to God. And then this other vision shows up more clearly. I see myself. I'm dressed in this bright armor. Shiny thing. Beautiful. And I see the devil. His armor is beautiful. But it's black, but shiny. If you can imagine, shiny black. Okay. Like the side of my shoe there. Shiny. And we are doing this. And I hear the voice of the Lord says, what are you doing? I said, I'm fighting. He said, fighting what? I said, I'm fighting the devil over here. He said, you're going to keep doing that? I said, yeah, what else am I supposed to do? We're fencing away. And the Lord says, that's not the way to do it. I said, how am I supposed to do it? He said, that's where I learned the word. I send the word as an evil-seeking missile. And all of a sudden, my sword was not that long sword anymore. I said, send the word as an evil-seeking missile. Phoom! Right into him. And I beheaded this creature. But this is where it gets really funny. No, I didn't eat beans. This was just God showing me the realm of the spirit. I see the devil grab his beheaded head and he says, I'm going to come back and fight you again. The enemy always tries to show up. He did. In Matthew chapter 4, he left the Lord Jesus Christ for a season, only to try to come back. But every time he comes, You win. I win. We win. Because God is winning this battle for us. If you receive that way, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Rise with me. Rise with me. I'm going to ask Mama to come join me. This battle is the Lord's battle. And all I'm going to do is rest. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask God to possess me. You're going to ask God to possess you. And let God, who is our head, the same God who teaches our hands to battle and our fingers to fight, that God will battle and bring the powers of darkness to naught on our behalf. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Repeat after me these words. Father, I surrender my life to you. Possess me henceforth. I declare by the authority of your word that I am possessed by your spirit, O God. I am possessed by the warring God. I am possessed by the God of peace. I am possessed by the God who is love. I am possessed by the life of God. And Father, I declare this day that I believe your word. I know your word. I obey your word. I know my identity, my status in you. I belong to you. I declare this day that your words will never be distorted in my life. For Lord God, I know thy word. I am led by your word. I am led by your spirit. I'm empowered by you to succeed, to reign, to rule by the authority of your everlasting word. I thank you, Lord, that not only do I know my identity in you, not only do I know your word, not only do I trust your word, but my worship is only for you. My worship is unto you. I worship you in spirit and in truth. Find me. Find me, Lord. Find me, Lord. Find me, Lord. Your word says that you seek those that will worship you in spirit and in truth. Find that one in me now and possess me completely. Thank you, Father, that I can rest under your guidance, under your protection. I rest seated in the throne. Blessed be the name of the Most High God. Thank you, Father, for loving me with an everlasting love. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to take our communion, and as we receive this communion, I want you also to be ready to release your offering of worship. I want you to give generously to the purposes of our Father. This is a special meeting, and I want to encourage you to give faithfully. Those who are champions of faith, I want you to give in an honorable way this morning and throughout these special meetings. Amen. There are things that we want to accomplish during these days. Praise God. Let us take our element. If you don't have an element, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Okay? We're all served. Everybody has been served. Okay. Let's take of this body. This is the body of the Lord. The body that God used to defeat the powers of darkness. The one that was made sin so that we become the righteousness of God in Him. As you take of this body, may God's healing graces flow through you. May God's presence impact every aspect of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying something right now. He's saying to a woman, He's saying, I call you woman. And as a woman, I raise you up to give birth. You shall be barren no more. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. From this day on, don't look at yourself as barren. In fact, right now, begin, I see a little girl's dress. Hallelujah. Begin to set that nursery, put it together right now, and begin to get that beautiful little girl's clothing, because you are going to carry children. In the mighty name of Jesus, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ made that possible. And whatever miracle you are expecting, whatever turnaround you're expecting, everyone else, begin to act clearly, boldly, under the unction and the anointing of God's grace upon your life. Act out that miracle you are experiencing right now. Receive the word of God. Receive the word of God. Receive the word of God. And be everything God says you are. And do not doubt. In Jesus' mighty name, take of this body and eat. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, before we take of the wine, if you have aught against anyone, this is a good time for you to say, I choose right now to forgive. Everyone who have sinned against me, and those that have sinned against, I receive forgiveness. Well, you cannot be shy about these things. You need to do it. It's part of keeping yourself alive and healthy. Many are sick. Many have fallen asleep early, died younger because they did not practice this. So let me do this with everyone. Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me now with the precious blood of Jesus. I forgive all those who have sinned against me. And Lord, I receive forgiveness for every sin I've committed. In Jesus' name. Amen. So you are free. So Lord, I thank you. that as we're about to partake of this wine, this blood of Jesus, Jesus called it his blood, as you take of this, whatever is wrong with you spiritually, emotionally, in your mind, maybe you can't think right when you auto, things that disturbs you, depression, or dealing with things that you cannot handle, whatever is wrong with your physical body, your organs, be it your heart, your eyes, your ear, your lungs, your kidneys, your bowels, your stomach, your intestines, large or small, colon, your body parts, every single part, hands, feet, every part, every cell, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. When you take of this, may the healing power of Jesus flow through your body.
Amen.
May everything that ought not to be in your body leave you.
Yes, Lord.
Leave your mind. Amen. Leave your body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say, as I take, everybody say this, as I take of this.
As I take of this.
May my spirit, soul, and body be corrected.
May my spirit, soul, and body be corrected.
And become one. With the Lord Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Praise the Lord. Just raise your hands with me. Hallelujah. Say with me, Father,
Father,
I declare now
that the darkness
is pushed back,
and the times,
my days, are
now
redeemed.
Redeemed.
I redeem all of my time back, and I push back all the darkness. For me,
my
family,
my
church,
my world.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Darkness, you are pushed back. And time
is
redeemed.
In
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we look forward to seeing you tonight for a powerful time in the presence of the Lord. And if you've not honored God with your giving yet, the information is on the screen. And those of you that are here, continue to bring your offerings unto the Lord. And the God of heaven pour out blessings upon you now and always. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are some people here that are here for the first time. Let me say hello to them real quick. I see this gentleman over here. What's the name, sir? Mike? You don't want to talk to me?